Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the rest of our days. And then on into eternity. It's not going to stop when this life ends, is it? It's going to keep going, and it's only going to get better. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I'm ready to go. And isn't that great? When you're a Christian, it's not morbid to talk like that. It's not weird or creepy, like we're happy about it, because we're not going to die. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. A man believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's it. It's just a transition. That's all it is. Praise God. Ooh, you could preach on that, you know? But that's not the message the Lord has given me today. So go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 11. The title of the message this afternoon is, I Want to Be Brave. I Want to Be Brave. And how many know that we're living in an hour where if we're going to stand up for what is right, if we're going to take a stand for God, it's going to require courage. It's going to require bravery, because more and more, the name of Jesus is becoming increasingly unacceptable. Any belief in an absolute moral value, the idea that one person could be right and another wrong, is becoming very much out of date, as it's being called. But this is what God calls eternal truth. And in order for you and I to stand up and claim the name of Christ, we're already feeling the tension of it. But I believe that days are coming where we're going to feel the cost to follow Jesus a lot more than we currently do. And we're going to take a lot of bravery. We're going to need a lot of courage to face those times and to make it through, because Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And I don't know about you, but I want to live that promise out as a Christian. I want to live that out. So let's get into the text, and then we're going to pray. We're going to start at verse 32, and we're just going to read through verse 34 for now. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 32. I want to be brave. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture filled with weak men doing impossible things. And that's why I love it, I think, because I know I am a weak man. I really don't have much to offer as far as human terms are concerned. But as it was said this morning, I know someone on the inside who has everything to offer. And, you know, just to give you an idea of where this message came from, just a month ago, actually, we had just had graduation at the school. The students had gone home for their summer break. And not long after that, I saw a Facebook post from one of the young guys that attends. He just finished his first year. Radical change in this guy. It's just amazing. Radical change. And all his post said was this: it takes courage to stand up for what is right. And when I read it, there was something in me, and part of it, I think, was because knowing him, knowing his demeanor, the way that he is, and I tell you, I've got a love for this young man, and I knew that this was something personal. Something had happened. He was walking through something, and the moment that I read it, the Holy Spirit stirred in my heart. Proverbs 28:1, where it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And I responded, and I don't do that much, you know. I'm more like one of those Facebook stalkers. I'll look at the news feed, but I never say anything, you know what I mean? You know, but I actually replied to his post, and I quoted that verse, and I said, remember, in Christ you're a lion, keep standing. And from that thought, just, amen, praise God, it's true. Because the Holy Spirit began to illuminate that further to me. When it says the righteous are as bold as a lion, there's no fine print after that. It doesn't say so long as they, no, there's no ifs, ands, or but. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, you and I have to understand that from a new covenant perspective. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are righteous because we are in him. If you are born again, meaning you have surrendered your life to Christ, you have asked for his forgiveness of your sins, and you've been made a new person, that's what Christianity is all about. If you have had that experience with God, then you are completely righteous. You are forgiven of your sins. Now, what conclusion do we draw from that then? If I'm righteous because of what Christ has given me, then that means I am entitled to boldness. I am entitled to bravery. It's not some distant thing that I have to grasp for. I don't have to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm a bit of an introverted person. I'm a little too shy. I'm not brave by nature. It doesn't matter what I am by nature. Because in Christ, I have a new nature. And I am entitled to bravery. I am entitled to courage. Because the righteousness of Christ is within me, I can look at that verse and say, that's a promise for me. Because I am a righteous man, not because of my own works, but because of the blood of Jesus cleansing me, I am fully entitled to all the guts I need to take a stand for God. Whether it's in a school, in the workplace, with my family, whatever the case might be, I am entitled to courage. You are entitled to bravery as a Christian. You do not have to settle for fear. You don't have to take it. So don't sit under it. Don't think that bravery is a matter of personality. Bravery is only for those who have been trained in how to do evangelism and things of that nature. Jesus took 12 goofy fishermen and tax collectors, and they were fearful men. And before long, only 40 days after he ascended to heaven, they were standing in front of a crowd of thousands of angry murderers who had just executed the Son of God, and they're preaching messages that are piercing their hearts. Don't tell me God can't raise you up. He can raise you up. You are entitled to courage. You're entitled because it's his righteousness, not yours. But where does bravery come from? The verse in Proverbs is pretty straightforward. The righteous are bold as a lion. But how many know we have a lot of days where we feel anything but courageous? So where then does bravery come from? And we read in this passage in Hebrews 11, you see these men doing these incredibly brave things. They're going from fear to victory. They're going into battles, and out of weakness, they're becoming strong. They're turning entire foreign armies to flight when they're being invaded. And you know, we are facing the very same things that they were. How many know that we're also being invaded in our culture? More and more, we are being invaded by darkness. Perhaps some of you see an invasion of darkness in your homes. You see the enemy trying to creep in on your marriages, creep into the lives of your children, creep into the lives of your siblings, of your parents, whatever the case might be. We are being invaded. But then we have stories of men of God from the Old and New Testament who were being invaded. The enemy was trying to come in, and it says that somehow, some way, they got up the courage to turn entire enemy armies to flight. But the thing is, the passage doesn't talk about how strong they were. It doesn't talk about what great strategists they were in war. It simply says in verse 33, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. Through faith, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Bravery, beloved, is not a matter of personality. Bravery is not a matter of what you naturally are. It's not a matter of training or education or societal background. Bravery is a matter of faith. It's the man who takes God at his word that has the backbone to stand up against the kingdom of darkness. It's that simple. It's not a complicated thing that we've got to write reams and reams of theological papers on how do you become brave as a Christian. You believe God. That's it. If you were hoping for something fancy and complicated, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not sorry. I'm glad that it's simple. I'm so glad that this gospel is simple. The weight is not on me. I take him at his word. I believe him. I declare in the face of my circumstance that God is everything he says he is, and he never fails. When you live that kind of life, you will always have the bravery you need to take a stand wherever God calls you. Isn't it wonderfully simple? Maybe it's so simple, I don't know if it's fully connecting, but that's all there is to it. If you believe God, if you believe God, you will be brave. You will be courageous. It's that simple. As impossible as it sounds. Listen, you read some of these stories. These were men who faced the very definition of impossible circumstances. They didn't have any resource but God's promise. But rather than believe the circumstance, They believed the word of God. And because of that faith, out of weakness, they were made strong. Out of fear, they became valiant. They saw entire armies turn tail and run. And I love those stories in the Bible. Now, let's talk a little more about the faith that the author of Hebrews said they needed to have. Flip back to chapter 10 very quickly, and we're going to read a few verses from chapter 10 just to help us connect with these people that were being written to in this book of the Bible. And I love the fact that the New Testament, pretty much all of the New Testament books, were written as letters. They're personal. They weren't written to be textbooks. They were written to help people. They were written to help Christians grow into everything God had called them to be. And so because of that, we're able to still have a very personal connection with the Word of God today. So starting at verse 32 of chapter 10, let's read. It says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated," meaning after you were saved and you saw the truth of God, "you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 is very much part of that same thought. You have to read it together. Don't break it up in your mind and think that it's two completely different parts of the letter. Look at verse 32 again. This is a group of people who started strong. They got saved, and there was a passion for God in their hearts. There was a love for the body of Christ, and they were immediately persecuted. The moment they claimed the name of Jesus, they began to be publicly ridiculed and insulted. Their personal property was being vandalized and stolen from them. That was their introduction to Christianity. There was no, you know, nice, cushy annex or church setting where you could go to new believers class and it's safe. These people were immediately persecuted. Immediately, there was a cost. Immediately. And that's something we in our country have not had to endure. We haven't had to. In large part, we have not. But these people did from the very beginning. And they were coming to a place where they were beginning to falter. They were beginning to grow cold. They were wanting to go back to what they had known before. And the author tells them, you need to remember when you first got saved. Remember that fire. Remember that passion. And he tells them that they were able to endure the affliction because even though they were losing their earthly possessions, they knew that they had a heavenly possession that couldn't be taken away. In other words, God had told them that because they were his children, they had an eternal inheritance in the heavens that couldn't be taken no matter what their earthly circumstance was. And because they believed God's promise, because they believed that what he said was truth, they were able to endure their persecution. And the author of Hebrews is telling this group of people, that's what you need to get back to. You had the guts to stand up under every affliction you came up against simply because you took God at his word. Don't throw that away. And that's what you and I need to pursue continually, that we are going to take God at his word. Beloved, our faith has so much more to do than just accepting things that we can't see as reality. It's so much more to it than that. Faith is alive, and it puts life in us. It sounds crazy to the world because even though we don't see something, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even though I don't see it, even though I don't sense it, I embrace it as real. I embrace it as true. But the basis of that belief is the fact that I trust the person telling me about it. That's the faith that he's telling them they've got to have. If you want to stand up under what you're facing, if you want to have courage in the face of your trial, if you want to be brave, you've got to get back to simply taking God at his word. where no matter what the circumstance looks like, you do not accept anything from the devil that contradicts what God has told you you're going to be. That's faith. That's what you're called to walk in. And that's where bravery comes from. That's it. We saw a bunch of young people. I was shocked. I'm expecting a bunch of, you know, older high school, college age kids, like junior high young men and women come out on this platform and they're going on a missions trip. It's incredible. That takes guts. And the thing is, when you believe God, when you take him at his word, it was like the sister shared earlier in the service. She simply said, God told me to go, so I went. I believed him. He said, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to supply for you. And she went and she came back with testimonies of miracles. When we just trust him, bravery comes. Because when you trust him, you begin to see more clearly that he's bigger than what you're up against. He's bigger than everything that stands in your way. Amen. Amen. Don't throw away your confidence. And the word confidence in Greek, it means boldness. That's what it means. It's a state of boldness and confidence in the face of intimidating circumstances. Don't throw that away. Who is the devil to intimidate the people of God? Who is he? What can he do? Do you think David was kidding when he wrote in the Psalms, you know, the Lord is my rock and my strength. What can man do unto me? David, remember where he had been. David fought giants and took them down. David killed lions and bears. David would slaughter enemy armies that were trying to steal the inheritance of God's people. He would lay them out on the ground and slaughter some, put others in slavery. I'll show you what happens when you contradict the promise of God. This is David. He had been through it all. Not only had he experienced victory, but he had been in defeat. David knew what it was to run for his life because he was being pursued by people that hate him. And yet, despite all those experiences, he was able to come back later on and write songs of worship that would say, what can man do unto me? What can anyone do to me when God is for me? What can they do? Nothing. I'm tired of being intimidated by the devil. I'm tired of being intimidated by this world and by this system that is so gripped by a spirit of Antichrist. I want to speak this gospel no matter what it costs me. That's what I want. And let me tell you something, folks. Evangelism is not easy for me. I'll be very honest about that. And maybe there's some of you in here that can relate. It's not easy for me to do. I don't have that Walmart anointing. You can just go into any store and people just like, and let me tell you about Jesus. Some people have that anointing. I'm like, man, Lord, can I get a little of that over here? You know what I mean? But the thing is, one, and I believe God to move me past my fear. I am not ever going to make an excuse for anything. I am going to preach this gospel. One thing I do, and I encourage you to do the same, I plug myself in. I make room in my schedule to be involved with ministries. Join an outreach. If you're one of those people that it is hard for you to share your faith, join in an outreach. Get with a group of people that you can go somewhere with and say, let's share this gospel together. You will be amazed at just having the strength of the body around you. Listen, don't settle for being intimidated. Don't think, well, I'm just not an evangelist. If you're saved, you're an evangelist. Period. If you have been saved by this gospel, you are called to preach it. Period. That's all there is to it. You may not have that fivefold pulpit ministry, but that doesn't matter. That's just one small part of the body. We need those Walmart folks. You know what I mean? I go into a youth detention center once a month. And you know, I don't know. I'm being very vulnerable here. I don't even know sometimes if this is okay, but I'm like, God, I have such a hard time sharing my faith in other places, but I know if I go into that detention center, I'll do it. I know I will. And if this is the only thing I know to do right now to move past my fear, then I'm going to go. I'm going to go because I want them to know you and I want them to be saved. I can't explain it. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I don't know. Maybe it's just my own sense of awkwardness I can't get past yet. You know, when I was down in Louisiana on vacation visiting my in-laws, I love my family. My father-in-law is one of the godliest men that I know. And he goes into one of the prisons down there. And I had never done prison ministry before. And he said, hey, would you like to go? I got permission for you to come. I was like, yes, absolutely. I do get excited about evangelism. It's not easy, but I love doing it. And I went with him. And this is not like your typical, what you see in the movies, every man is in his own cell and then they have the day area. It's just rows of bunk beds. And these guys are all out, general population, they're all mixing. And the corrections officers told my father-in-law, the only way this is going to work is if you just go in there with them. And there's no COs in there when you go. None. There's a couple cameras, but you are literally, he had to sign a waiver. And he told me this. And, you know, as he's inviting me to come, he's telling me all this. I'm like, wow, thanks a lot, you know. But I went, and it was incredible. It was incredible. I'm standing there with inmates all around me, and I'm just preaching my heart, and I'm telling them, this is who God is. This is what the gospel's all about. And some of them are playing card games. They're over here distracted. Some of them are sitting right there, and they're walking by, and some of them are stopping and listening. And I can tell you, I was completely unintimidated. I was not afraid. And listen, if God can do that for me, He will do it for you. Do not associate God with your human limitations. He is above them. He is beyond them. He is committed to getting you past them. Don't limit what He can do with your life based on what you feel comfortable with. Don't ever do that. Don't. I love, and you know, it's just amazing, because one of my favorite moments of the two times that I got to go just into this prison in Louisiana, we went into a one of the units, it was not general population, it was the more protected, you know, it was where they, the sex offenders, child abusers, that sort of thing, they, some of them were mentally ill and they needed to be medicated and monitored. And we went in there, and I'm telling you, my heart just so yearned for these men. Like, I can't even tell you. I was not ashamed to be in there with them. I had no desire to wish judgment on them. Because I looked and I just saw a bunch of broken guys who just wanted to be told that there was hope for them. And because there was a point, I'm sitting there and I'm teaching them and I'm expounding something out of the Gospel of John, telling them about, you know, I'm just preaching the gospel with them. And they start talking, you know, one of the hardest things for us is feeling like, you know, we get told all the time God can forgive us, but we don't know if we can ever forgive ourselves. And I looked at one of the young men, he was 23 years old. 23 years old, I don't know what he did. And I looked at him and I looked him square in the eye and I said, I heard what you said. And I'm telling you, if you receive the love of Jesus Christ and you let God wash you of your sins, you will find the power to let go of your past and move into what He has for you. And this kid started crying. And out of all the people that listened to us, I don't know how many other guys listened from their bunks, that kid let me pray with him to receive Jesus Christ at the end of that meeting. He let me pray with him. I do not want to settle for fear. I don't. I don't want to settle for being an intimidated Christian. I'm not content to be a silent witness and a dead testimony when darkness is invading our land and invading our schools, invading our workplace, when this Bible tells me that if I simply trust God, I can wax valiant and fight. If I just trust God, I can see entire strongholds that have been forged in people's lives over years come crumbling down simply because I choose to believe that my Jesus is bigger than any lie that Satan can speak to this generation. This is the God that we serve. This is who He is. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's all powerful. What reason do we have to live in fear? What reason do we have to be intimidated? So what if the guys who say that God is dead all have letters behind their name? So what? I don't have any letters behind my name. I don't have a degree. I'm not even ordained. But I've got the Holy Spirit. And that's it. And the testimony that God can raise up out of a broken, humble vessel is more powerful than any PhD this world can bestow. They can preach what they want. They can say what they want. I know how big my God is. At least in some measure, I know. And you know what? The more I find out, the more I want to learn. I want to know everything about him that I possibly can. As much as I can possibly learn on this side of eternity, I want it all. I want it all. And the good news is we can have it all. We can have as much of him as we want. You just have to trust. And that's our one job. It's our one responsibility, is to take God at his word. Amen?
Amen.
So the bottom line is this. Biblical bravery is not a matter of strength. It's not a matter of personality. It's not a matter of education. It's simply a matter of, do you count God faithful? Do you count him faithful? If you believe he's faithful, you'll have the backbone and the guts to stand anywhere. I don't care where God puts you. I don't care how crazy it sounds. You'll have the bravery and the courage to do it because you take your God at his word. I've been on a bit of a David and Goliath kick lately. I love that story. There's so much there. And you know, the one thing, when you really notice it, the only reason that David knew he could take down the giant was because he counted God faithful. And here's why. The most important statement, I think, that David makes in the whole story, when you read 1 Samuel 17, which is where the story is found, most important thing David says is this: who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Because you have to understand, circumcision was the sign of being in covenant relationship with God. So what David was doing was saying, listen, I know he's big. I know he's strong. I know the Philistine army is bigger. I know that our army is terrified. But the fact of the matter is, this guy's not in covenant with God. He cannot take away what God has promised us. I don't care how big he is. Our God is bigger. I don't care how strong he is. God's promise is stronger. That's it. Bravery comes from faith. If you believe God, you will be brave. If you trust him, you'll have courage. That's it. You don't need to be mighty. You don't need to be even an extrovert. It has nothing to do with your personality disposition. It has nothing to do with that. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Do you believe that he's bigger than your mountains? Do you believe that he's bigger than the strongholds that you see in your workplace and in your family? If you can answer yes to any of those, then you've got the guts. Maybe you don't know it, but you've got it. You have everything you need to have a face-off with Goliath and see him come down. Everything you need. Everything you need. Praise God. In Christ, we're lions. We're lions. So no fear. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Altar call's really simple. I want to be brave. That's it. I want to be brave. I want to move past my fear. I want to move past my unbelief. I want to take God at his word, and I want to walk in impossible places. If that's the cry of your heart, then I just want to invite you to come down to the front here. We're going to worship for a few moments, and we're going to begin to pray. Maybe the first brave thing you need to do is come down to the front. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, you truly are stronger, O God. You are stronger, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you that in you we are lions, O Lord. God, I thank you that in you we have everything we need. Your word says that you have given us, freely given us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, everything we need to stand for you, everything we need, oh God, to be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ has been given to us. Everything we need to pray boldly, oh God, when we intercede for our families, when we intercede for our community, oh God, and we cry out for our schools, you have given us everything, oh God, that we need to boldly declare your truth and your promises, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that have come come to this altar today, God, I pray that they would find themselves moving in the supernatural. God, I pray that they would see you move them beyond what they always thought would be a limitation for them. God, I pray that they would see themselves moving in bravery, moving in courage like they've never known before. That they would find themselves opening their mouths at times when they've always preferred to be quiet. God, I thank you that you're going to do it, Lord. And the only thing you ask of us is that we trust you. The only thing you ask of us is that we take you at your word. And right now, we speak to our fear. We speak to our unbelief. And we declare in Jesus' name that our God is everything he says he is. And he never, ever fails. He never fails. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are mighty, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, that we are going to see foreign armies put to flight, oh God. We will see those Goliaths come down. And Lord, we pray, oh God, for the Goliaths that we face in our workplaces, oh Lord. For the Goliaths and the armies that we see advancing upon our families, oh God. Coming into our communities, oh Lord. Jesus, where entire blocks are gripped by gang violence and drugs. Lord, I thank you that no matter what it is, whether it's in our home or in our community or abroad, we have what we need in Christ to speak to the darkness. God, I thank you that we don't need to be afraid of what the enemy is doing. We can charge into the battle completely unafraid, knowing that you will give us the victory. So, Lord, we pray, oh God, Lord, let us be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, in this last hour of time, when darkness seems to be prevailing, Lord, let us be the light that you've called us to be. Give us the bravery. Give us the courage, oh God. Give us the courage, O Lord, to be the beautiful bride that you've intended us to be. Lord, we will not be silent, O God. Not when we serve a God who's greater than our fear. We will not be silent when we serve a God who's stronger than what the enemy's trying to do. We will not be silent when all the resources of heaven have been put at our disposal through Jesus Christ. We have no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to be silent. Lord, thank you that in you we are lions, O God. Lord, let us walk this out, O God. Jesus, I pray for tomorrow morning. Lord, this service is going to end. God, the band is going to stop playing. Lord, the preacher is going to stop preaching. Lord, some of us are going home into very lonely places. But Lord, I thank you that even there, O God, you will shine your light upon my brothers and sisters. Even there, you will give them the strength and the boldness to open their mouths and speak, O God. Lord, I pray that you would put prayers in their hearts, O God. Lord, prayers of faith, asking you for the impossible, even at points in the day where they would never think to do it. Jesus, thank you for what you're going to do, God. Lord, we're a supernatural people. We're not going to settle for the ordinary. We're a supernatural people. God, I pray your blessing on my family, God. I pray your blessing on my brothers and sisters, O Lord. Keep your hand upon them. Help them in this city, O Lord God. Help them, Lord. Thank you for the miracles you're going to do on their behalf. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.